Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
A deal's been reached between the DUP and the UK government to allow the return of power sharing in Northern Ireland. It's been nearly 2 years since the Democratic Unionists collapsed the executive at Stormont in protest at new trade arrangements post-Brexit. Here's their leader, Sir Geoffrey Donaldson.
We recognise that significant further advances have been achieved through these negotiations. This package, I believe, safeguards Northern Ireland's place in the Union.
There's disruption in store for many rail passengers in the south of England today with another driver strike. It's the first day in a series of rolling walkouts by ASLEF members this week. Pakistan's former Prime Minister Imran Khan has been sentenced to 10 years in prison for revealing official secrets. And new research suggests getting a dog could be linked to young girls spending almost an hour more being active per day. From Radio News Hub, I'm Edward Breslin.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot is £14 million.
Now that calls for a dance, Dermot. How about a salsa?
How about a two-step?
Woo! Somebody's got moves.
It's all in the hips, my friend. Get that Euro Millions feeling tonight. Euro Millions from the National Lottery. Play on app. Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Coming up, Africa in Focus.
I am alive today because I responded to a letter. My name is Philomena. I live in South London. I'm a mom, wife, and I survived breast cancer. I was devastated when my breast screening and further tests showed I had breast cancer. After 6 tough months of treatment and surgery, I am back, living life again. Black women, please hear me. We are twice as likely to get a late breast cancer diagnosis, therefore less likely to survive. But we can turn this around. Self-examine your breast, and for those of us aged 50 to 71, attend your breast screening every 3 years. Maybe you ignored your screening letter, or you need to reschedule your appointment. Whatever your situation, take action today. Search London Breast Screening online or call 0203 758 2024. Attend your breast screening and take charge of your health.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Africa in Focus.
If I get one Ghana for my pocket, Masai no be your problem. You get the Mercedes, I get Toyota. Chale, you no be problem. For the club, you drink Hennessy. I dey drink Yakwete show. I na I my brother. I'm governor, sabi who get money. Leave me, make I do my own, no. I'm your senior, I hope you know. When I dare you go smile at me, for my back you go wish me bad. Oh, leave me, make I do my own.
escape routes.
Colorful,
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 genius.
Colorful
radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, or even good evening, depending on the time zone that you are connecting to us from. Welcome to Africa in Focus. I'm your host, Julius Mbaluto. And today we are joined by, again, my great friend, Emmanuel Orufe. And he's here with us. And we are coming to you wherever you are in the world, from the heart of London, all the way on Colorful Radio, to reach you. And again, talk about Africa. Africa. This year, believe it or not, some countries will be electing their leaders. Some countries will be once again making a big decision. Who is going to elect? Who is going to lead them? Each country, who is going to lead them? They're going to be making difficult decision because sometimes they are spoiled for choice by many candidates. But some of these candidates will be elected. Most of them also, they bring a massive choice of corruption, and therefore it doesn't help anything. So, the corrupt or not the corrupt, that is the question. But who to elect in all these countries in Africa? There are many countries in Africa this year going for election. And just to sound a few, perhaps not all of them, some may not have confirmed the exact election day. But this year we have South Africa going for election, Mauritania, Rwanda, we have Mozambique, Somaliland. Again, mm-hmm. Somaliland has not even today been recognized by United Nations as a sovereign state. But that's a subject for another day. We have Ghana, you have Chad, Botswana, Tunisia, Guinea-Bissau, Namibia, South Sudan, Cape Verde, Mali, Mauritius, and Algeria. Emmanuel, while I welcome you to say hello to our listeners, and then we'll pick, why don't I allow you to say hello, you know, hello to our listeners, and introduce you briefly, what you do as well. Of course, they know, they've heard you before, but yeah, for new ones tuning in.
So Julius, thank you, welcome for having me today. My name is Emmanuel Rufe, our editor of Diaspora Magazine, and associate editor of the African Voice. Now, being a freelance journalist over the years. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Emmanuel. So to our listeners, Dr. Martin Luther King, the civil rights movement from the US, once upon a time he was talking about how important democracy was. And to coin his phrase, he said, now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. That was civil rights movement leader, Dr. Martin Luther King in the US, early 60s. And then again, when you talk about the essence of democracy is to set people free. And those who defined the word democracy initially, they envisioned a situation whereby you, the governed, you, the ruled, actually you are the boss, because you can fire and employ your leader through what we call the power of the ballot. When you cast your vote, you are giving a certain leader a job to lead you. When you don't cast your vote, you are saying, I don't care who leads me. When you cast the wrong one, wrong candidate, and you can see it, let's say we just say you are misguided. Simply put.
Yes.
But then, when you look into the world's democracy, the way it is started, you know, the wonderful, iconic definitions, all the way from the land of democracy, US, or the rule of the people. Listen to this, the rule of the people, for the people, and by the people. That's extremely powerful. you know, and this is what the essence of democracy should be. You know, when you're elected, you're not elected to go and steal taxpayers' money. You're elected to govern these people. You're supposed to be custodian of all the finances there is in the taxpayer kitty, and you see to make a difference in the lives of citizens. But then, in African context, all these countries we are talking about going for election this year, 2024, this has not been achieved. And although independence came from the colonial rule, there are many, in many aspects of political life in African countries, these countries, citizens are not free. Then again, what do we say? Martin Luther King shared again, saying what? Freedom is never given voluntarily by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. Freedom is never given voluntarily by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. So, let's just maybe quickly go through what happened last elections in 2022, 2023. We saw 2022, of course, Kenya's election happened, controversial. The results being announced by a commission that was divided down the middle. We saw the election also of Nigerian President Tinubu, which extremely was also controversial by the way of the election was conducted. The same thing in Kenya. This process is extremely controversial, producing leaders who are, of course, lacks legitimacy, but yet, because of the systems that are there in these countries, these leaders find their way and they still govern these people against their will in one way or the other. So, Emmanuel, with that introduction, what are your quick thoughts about 2024 elections across Africa?
I've seen Africa, where almost 17 countries going to election this year. You've listed them. They all go to election this year. And as you've rightly said, democracy, it's all about democracy. What is democracy? Government for the people, by the people. And who are the people? The people, they are very important. People voting, people casting the vote, they are important. Who are people casting the votes in Africa? Who, what is their level of awareness? What is their level of education? What is their level of civilization? And why the vote? Why the election? So it depends on who is casting the votes. We had an election in Nigeria. We had an election in other parts of the world where the citizens cast their vote, but the vote did not matter. And this vote is important for you to cast a vote. You must make sure you are putting the right person in place. But as we've seen in most cases, especially in Africa, that the democracy we practice there is not of the advanced type where you put the right people in place. So all we see is they elect people in power, and at the end of the day, the dividends of democracy are not achieved. And then you see military rule coming up in most parts of the Sahel Africa, and they are going for election to Mali, Burkina Faso. They are also going for election this year. So who is going to vote who? Because in places where you have military regimes, like in Burkina Faso, Niger, Gabon, these places, you are likely to see a situation where the incumbent actually manipulate the election to transform them into civilian regimes, because they've tested power. Once an incumbent is in power, I can count about 5 countries in Africa where the incumbent are presently, they are under military rule, and they are most likely to institutionalize themselves in power again. And you can see elections have been postponed twice in Mali, and also we have Burkina Faso. So in such a situation, the incumbent try to entrench themselves in power. It has happened. Also, another aspect of democracy where the election is those who have got the money, the means to capture power, they get into power, and they'll, at the end of the day, they use monetary inducement, because who are the people casting the votes? Poor, there's high level of unemployment. People who are poor, they give them money and they vote them to power. But the dividends of democracy are not achieved. So what I've seen in this election this year, about 17 countries, is that we are likely not to see any more changes. We are likely not to see much of seismic or sea change in the election. The people in power now will remain in power. I've not seen that happening in Mali. If you look at the body language of the Malian president, he's not likely to leave power. He's going to transform himself to another president. The same will happen in Burkina Faso. In South Africa, I believe the president there, there are going to be some serious changes in South Africa. With Ramaphosa, with the election, the corruption taking place there, I doubt if the ANC will get the necessary support, except to go into alliance with other political parties. I don't see the ANC coming to power. So let's go to my own country, Nigeria. We see the election took place last year. We see all that happened, the so-called election. I don't see that as an election. I'm not going to mince words saying that that election was not free affair. That's my own take on it, because up to the court cases, up to the Supreme Court, we see a lot of loopholes there. And so, as you said, the people casting the votes, the followers are the major thing. If the followers can cast a vote and put somebody in power, then so be it, because it is their own volition, or it is their own power. The voters, the followers in any country are very important.
This is Colorful Radio.
Emmanuel, there is an argument that is put across, and people blame the leaders they elect. Now, they say it's the fault of the voters, because they are the ones who vote bad leaders. Now, the question is, in a situation whereby elections are getting rigged, is it the fault of the voter, or is it the fault of those who rig the elections?
I've already mentioned one issue just at that of monetary inducement. So the fault is not with the voters, it's the money. Now, Africa, you see the indices for this year. Unemployment, youth unemployment. You have debt burden. You have crisis all over the place, border crisis. You have terrorism. You have people being removed from their homeland. You have debt crisis. I mean, a lot of debt. There's vast level of unemployment in Africa. Although, from the statistics, Africa is bound to rise in terms of economic development within the next few years. But there's still issues of unemployment, which is very important. Poverty. There's crisis in the Sahara. People have been, terrorism in Nigeria. So this now displaced a lot of people. People are hungry, there's no food. So whenever they get any source of money, they vote for whoever, wherever the money comes from. So that aspect of monetary discipline is very important. It's not, so they don't have a choice than to vote whoever. Because some rural areas, for example, in Africa, they don't even know who is coming to power. They don't even know the name of who is coming to power. They don't even know anything. So what they get is what they get. They get the inducement, they go and vote for them, mostly women, and they will use women, children to vote. So it is the factor of, well, most times it's not the followers, but the inducement that comes in for whoever is voting. That's what happens.
Exactly. That inducement, I think we, at this point, we can ask ourselves, what kind of leaders do we have in Africa? What do experts say about everybody who get, most of the leaders who get elected in Africa? What do experts say? Let's listen up to what experts say about those people who get elected in Africa.
The rank of many political leaders in Africa are thieves. Let's call them by their name. They are thieves. They are individuals who are not interested in the interest of this country. And as long as we continue electing such individuals into positions of power across Africa, they are going to be manipulated.
Strong words there. I've actually heard a lot of experts talk about these issues, whereby in some countries they say, if you go to maybe China and you are corrupt, they shoot you. If you go to Korea or some other countries, when you are corrupt, you're bunked up, you're sentenced, prosecuted and sentenced. When you are caught being corrupt, for example, in countries like the UK, of course, this obvious corruption, you're quick to resign. But they say, well, in African countries, in African context, when you're corrupt, they elect you to be their leader, and they celebrate you. And when someone challenges you, how could you do that? They tell you, even if he's a thief, he's our own thief. So what do you make of this judgment by PLO Lumumba? Professor PLO Lumumba.
Lumumba, well, he has been saying that for a long time, but since I've been preaching that message, what has changed in Africa? Nothing has changed. I've been listening to this professor for the past 10 years or more. Nothing has changed. They have simply called them thieves, all kinds of names, but nothing is changing. Africa remains the same. You get yourself into power, you entrench yourself into power, and you are now the lord of the manor, because you now have resources available to you, and then you can use that resources to manipulate yourself in power. A lot of African leaders have been that. Okay, just take a look at Rwanda, the man in Kigali. He has been there for how many years now? He's not living in that place. He doesn't brook opposition.
He's still vying, by the way. He's vying 2024 as well.
The election, the constitution will be there for another 5 years or more. I mean, look at Museveni. Museveni has been there now for another, the past 42 years or more. And we have others. So this election is taking place in Botswana, Comoros, Mauritius, Namibia, Mozambique, South Africa, and Tunisia, Algeria. These are going to be tests for African democracy to see what it means. God, another thing again is the intrusion of the Western powers. Africa is now balkanized, is now colonized, a kind of another scramble for Africa by the West. You have the China is there, you have China, you have Russia, and now suddenly Italy have joined the rank of those coming.
But it's been a bit quiet. Italy has been very quiet.
A bit quiet, but Italy is back. It's now joining the rank and file of those who are scrambling for Africa. So they want Africa, Italy summit, China, African summit, Russia, African summit, American, African summit.
Russia, oh, yes, Russia. I saw the Italy summit going on. Yeah.
You see, the American quickly came to Nigeria the other day and said, oh, they are interested in giving aid to Nigeria. They're giving some millions. So the West also also can be seen to be...
they play a role.
They play a role in the...
But before we come to the West, I want to pick up one key point, which is very important. Right now, as we speak, we have these countries in Africa which went through the coup, and you mentioned earlier Guinea, talking about Mali, we are talking about Burkina Faso, we're talking about also Chad as well. And actually, these countries, you put it right, they are within the Sahel region. And they're the countries we saw very much under French troops presence, kicking the French troops. And when ECOWAS tried to intervene after the coups, they came together and they say, we are going to defend ourselves from ECOWAS intervention. So when you see this, and then look at that group immediately, just focus on that group of these countries which are supposed to be going through election this year. But then I want to bring a different context here. We are talking about Sudan. Omar Bashiri came through coup. Sudan, he ruled Sudan all the way from 86 to when he was overthrown by the populist movement, revolution. And now the revolution comes, gets hijacked by military. But today we have Sudan. Now they fought and split into two countries, hence the birth of South Sudan. But away from that, now what we call Sudan, there is war going on between two factions of military. Now, do we even begin to see those coming together, making peace for an election to take place? But what I'm pointing out with the Omar Bashir of the former Sudan, I want to come also to Uganda, Museveni. He's a former military man. 1986, he came through to power through the barrel of the gun. And then again, he tried to appease Ugandans, telling them, yeah, we'll go back to civilian leadership. He converted himself to a civilian leader and clung to that seat to date. Let's talk about even Kagame. After the war, after the genocide war, and he converted himself to civilian leader. To date, he's still in power. So what is likely to happen with these West African countries that went through the coup? And right now, they are presidents, are military leaders.
They are likely to contest election. You can see in the case of Mali, the man has postponed the election twice. Burkina Faso has also postponed the election twice. They are just making all arrangements to change their uniform from khaki to agbada. That's what happened most of the time. It has happened in Uganda. It has happened in other places. In Nigeria, it has happened before. So I think once they get to the seat of power, as I've said, next thing is to entrench themselves into that power so that they don't brook opposition. There's no opposition in Rwanda. I've read all about Rwanda. They say Rwanda is a very safe place and all that kind of stuff, but the man there doesn't tolerate opposition.
Yeah. Talking of which, because this is Rwanda's year of election, and also at the same time, Rwanda's been in the news, trading in the news, the controversy between UK planning to send the people they don't like, illegal immigrants, to Rwanda. Nice one. Nice dumping ground. Away from that controversy, yeah, there's been a very interesting investigation by Channel 4 of whether Rwanda is safe or not. Let's have a listen.
Colorful radio. Colorful
radio. At the heart of the British government's plans to offshore asylum seekers to Rwanda is the question of whether it's safe.
Rwanda is a safe country.
Rwanda is one of the safest countries in the world.
It is a welcoming country.
The Prime Minister's new bill declares it so.
Yeah!
Human Rights Watch says not.
It is absolutely clear that Rwanda is not a safe country.
In 2017, a group of men led by a Rwandan intelligence officer came into Joseph Mazimpaka's home in Tanzania and bundled him into a car.
I was handcuffed. Yeah, after that, they put me in the car. During that time, I had not any hope to be alive again. That's all.
A former trainer for the Rwandan military, he said he fled the country after refusing to fight with M23, a rebel force in Congo that Rwanda has been accused of backing. Before his kidnappers could take him across the border, they were intercepted by police officers.
Even if we were out of country, even if we were in Europe, even if we were in Africa, they follow you. The plot was organized by the government of Rwanda, and the chief of government is President Kagame. I know. Is that?
Often heralded as a visionary who led his country away from genocide and into economic growth, Paul Kagame's is a presidency also dogged by allegations of human rights violations and media suppression. In 2015, the Foreign Office said it was deeply concerned about violence against Rwandan opposition figures.
The UK puts human rights at the heart of what we do.
Andrew Mitchell, now Minister for Africa in the Foreign Office, said in 2015 that he'd even brought up extrajudicial killings with Kagame's government.
In all fairness to the Rwandans, it's important to say they made it clear that they had not been doing that, and they denied any specific allegations that were made of that type.
Did you believe them?
Well, I expressed the position of the British government, which is that such actions would be abhorrent, and we never condone or support extrajudicial killing of that type.
And while that referred to older reports, Human Rights Watch has identified 5 suspicious killings of high-profile Rwandan refugees since 2021. In Mozambique, former Army Lieutenant Revoka Karamangingo was shot dead in the street, and businessman Seliman Masia was stabbed to death. In South Africa, opposition leader Saif Bamporiki was shot dead in a township, and former soldier Teogen Bikorimana was shot and stabbed to death in a restaurant, his wife also attacked. In Uganda, former MP Emmanuel Munyaneza was found dead in his home.
So all of the men that were killed in 2021 in Eastern and Southern Africa were all either dissidents or opponents of Kagame and his government. We also know that each of them had in fact been threatened by and harassed by people associated with or acting for the government before their death. So we know that it's very, very clear and it's very likely that their deaths were related to and associated with the government.
In Kenya, Mozambique, South Africa, Tanzania and Uganda, Human Rights Watch have also documented cases of kidnappings and assaults of Rwandan refugees. In Europe too, with reports of assaults in Belgium in 2019 and the Netherlands in 2015. Here in the UK, British police warned 3 people in 2011 that the Rwandan government posed an immediate threat to their lives.
Told me to change my routine.
One of them is Jonathan Musonera, a former army captain and military ally of Paul Kagame, who says he fled Rwanda after being tortured and was later paid a visit by British security forces.
MI5 came to my house. They start telling me, your life is in danger. I said, how? Your Rwandan president chased you to kill or to use any means.
Yeah, because I've gone through the Rwanda case history, the past. Remember the coup in Mali's, the Sahel coup?
Yeah.
How Kagame reacted to it? By reshuffling the military. He reshuffled the military, retired about 12 military generals.
Yes, I remember that. When the coup happened in Mali.
So validating what somebody was saying there, that Kagame is just paranoid. He's paranoid of being removed by the military, because the military is the major institution in Rwanda. He used it to terrorize opponents, killing, pursuing them abroad.
Yeah.
How terrible can that be? And you said Rwanda is a peaceful country.
And when you look into what we call democracy, right? When you look into what amounts to be elections, it's not just Rwanda. We have other countries in Africa employing the same mechanism. Extrajudicial killings. If you are lucky, you flee the country. If you are not lucky, you get killed and you just become numbers of those mentioned. You know, there is a, yeah, it's not a biggie, yeah. But it's a life lost. Extrajudicial killings because of elections, because of political differences. We are looking at all these group of countries going for election. Let me ask you a question, Emmanuel. These countries, if democracy worked, if voting mattered, if actually when they cast the vote, that vote can count, and they go down there, and these wonderful Africans in different countries, they check who they're going to vote for, and they choose the best. Let me ask you, how fantastic can Africa be with all this number of countries going for election, electing the right leaders, electing the right candidates? I mean, it would be a wonderful, great moment for Africa. Don't you think?
Wonderful, but how? Who are they going to elect? Okay, look at, some of them are going for election. This is their last term. Senegal, Mozambique. Some of them are going, somebody else coming up. Now, what usually happens is that the man in power, the president in power, who is leaving, now have to entrench the look for whoever is subservient to him. The election that we are going to look at that will be very sensitive will be Senegal, South Africa, Ghana, Tunisia. These are going to be very sensitive elections because, like Senegal, for example, the man have served and the man has served already. So we are looking for the election from opposition member. Now, what happened in Africa is the opposition. Who are the opposition? How do they function? Are they effective? Have they been at muzzles? Again, is there rule of law in Africa? Is there rule of law? Do we practice it? Because rule of law is part of the democratic tenets.
Yeah.
These are not in Africa. People are arrested, like we just saw in Rwanda, and extrajudicial killing. That's not rule of law there. No. Then we see detention. If you can, that means there's no freedom of speech.
Do you think we have any potential? These countries, we talked about them, from South Africa to, yeah, all these Western Africa, yeah, being led by military. But I don't know. There could be a bit of... There are countries like Botswana. A country like Botswana, they're wonderful countries, you know. They never feature so prominently the international media. Why? Because everything is okay. We know, me and you know, when a country is in the Western media, something is going wrong. So when you see countries like... we have actually Botswana. We have Cape Verde, Mauritius. Yeah. Mauritania. If you talk about Mauritania, someone may... Is it in Africa? No one hears about it. Do you think we still have some hope that people may vote the right way?
Yes, it's possible that some people will vote the right way. If you see Africa, there's been some quiet... Some countries are really quiet. They don't feature much in international media because they are... Maybe people are happy with their government. There's a lot of the dividend democracy is there, and there's low unemployment. There's rule of law, but in countries where there's issues, where there are issues, like South Africa. Now I don't know how South Africa is going to come out of the mess they are right now. The ANC is one of the oldest parties in Africa. And then we're looking up to them with Nelson Mandela became president, and the left quiet. People should emulate Nelson Mandela. Came, was in prison for 27 years, and then he came out, he ruled for 4 years, and he handed over peacefully. There's a peaceful transition there. Why can't people just emulate the Nelson Mandela?
And do you remember during Mandela, there was a time his chief opponent, I think it was Buthelezi, he allowed him to be in charge for a bit.
Yes.
Amazing. It's a question of thinking about the bigger picture. See, what you're saying is very true, Emmanuel, because you bang me up for 27 years and one day I come out as president. Some guys will be like, it's my turn to revenge.
It's my turn. You have to rule for life.
Rule for life? Revenge?
We have the president, we have the two past presidents. Now we now have Cyril Ramaphosa, who has plunged the ANC into, I wouldn't say crisis, but I don't know how it's going. The ANC will win majority in this coming election. There are two opposition parties coming up now, Nkomto Zulu and another party. The ANC it just plunged. It's on a downward slope in terms of populace regarding vast unemployment, vast rural poverty between the black people. So I don't see, except there's a really coalition between all those little parties. Otherwise, they will be almost wiped out.
This is Colorful Radio.
What do you think about ANC as a party? Because I always made jokes about it, like, wow, ANC is so powerful because it's the only party in Africa which can call back a president and they will obey. You see, try that in Kenya. Political party calling back the president, telling him, we as a party will make you stop being president, or you will dissolve the party and form another one.
That's not going to happen in other countries. Nigeria, yeah. For example, Kenya, for example, Uganda, for example, that's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
The ANC has been there for almost 90 years. I was there, a party of hope for the black man. But you see, the conditions, poverty level among the black people in South Africa has made the ANC to be in a state of regress. So I think what can really happen in the elections coming up is for Ramaphosa to boost the ANC to a level. Otherwise, they are going to lose our hope. So I think so. Then the other issues that we need to look at in the Africa election now is rule of law. Rule of law, alleviating poverty. The debt burden is too high. Like some other countries, like Nigeria, is owing almost $1.7 trillion. I mean, if the debt is dollarized, that means we are almost in trouble. So debt burden is too high. Unemployment need to be sorted out most part of Africa, and then leaders have to be upbeat about the welfare and living standard of the populace. That is the most important thing. Then again, the Sahel region, we just talk about the Sahel region, about the countries there. We're going to watch them closely. We're going to watch Mali closely. So Mali, Burkina Faso, Niger Republic, Gabon, and Chad. We're going to watch them closely to see if those boys are going to transform themselves into civilian presidents. That would be a focal point because the French are watching. The Russians are there waiting for the election. We would want to see if the elections that are going to be free and fair, or they're going to allow opposition members or other people to take over power. Because I think those boys, Traore, and they are going to transform themselves to a civilian regime. That's happened before in Cote d'Ivoire. So those are the scenarios we've been looking at. How the Sahel region is a very, very big part of Africa where elections are taking place this year. So we're watching out to see what's going to happen there.
Supposing we had a very clean election within Sahel region, all these countries, you are Mali, you are Guinea, your Burkina Faso, you know, suppose, and also Chad, supposing there was to be a very clear election and supposing leadership was to change, that recent unity between military rulers saying, we're going to gang up together, don't try us, we are going to fight you. That spirit, what do you mean? How do you think you can take Africa far? I mean, especially that region.
Yeah, if there's a unity and they are able to, well, if they want to transform themselves, because the issues there are with initially France are out of Niger now. I don't think they've gone far. They are watching the situation in Niger Republic. I don't think they've gone finally. They are still there. They will now see issues. The second issue is that of terrorism. If they can curb terrorism, the caution of the terrorists from the north into those countries, and then if they said they want to cooperate, do military cooperation, economic cooperation with Russia, that's going to be another issue, because right now, as we speak, Russia is on ground in the Sahel region. And also China, also watching the situation there. So if there's a cooperation between the military and the followers in those regions, and there's peace and stability, well, so good for them. Except there's no peace, except there's conflict. Because what happened now is conflicts, regional conflicts, like what Kigami is doing with Congo. Those things are hotspots. If they can reduce the conflicts, wars and petty local conflicts, then I think we're almost getting there.
Because when you talk about East Africa, already is a potential for conflict. You have DRC in Congo threatening to invade Rwanda, Burundi as well threatening Rwanda.
When
you look into Burundi, DRC, Congo, and then away from that, further east, you have Somalia-Ethiopia conflict about to happen, because apparently Ethiopia is annexing a bit of land from Somalia through Somaliland.
Yeah, that's another one. Potential conflict in that area, because you remember the last time we met, we talked about the memorandum of understanding between Ethiopia and Somaliland, and as we speak, Somaliland is also organizing an election too.
Exactly. That's another one. They're going to election with that conflict, having sold a bit of their land to lease, not sell, you know.
They're also going for election, Somaliland, and they're watching, people are watching that. Somalia is watching that election. It's going on. President Biw, or whatever I call him, is in power there.
Now, when we talk about the international dimension again, it coming to play there, because, of course, the U.S. is always in support of Ethiopia, because Ethiopia has been the handsman for U.S. when it came to Somalia issues. Yes, and also, we have peacekeepers from Ethiopia on the ground in Somalia in the form of AMISOM.
Yeah, I really see Ethiopia, because a landlocked country, they need access to the sea. Like, you can't be doing your naval training in a lake. So they actually need that access to Somaliland.
They already had access through Djibouti. No,
to the boats.
Exactly. So, Djibouti, yeah, they had.
Okay.
And so, even Somalia claims, if they spoke to them, they could have still given them access to the sea. It's not a biggie for them.
But all these are potential for conflict. If after the election in Somaliland, then Somalia is there watching the situation. Ethiopia also have signed that memorandum of understanding. And therefore, what with goodness, they've already recognized Somaliland as a country. What will happen next will depend on what the next president of Somaliland will do, what Somalia will do, and what Ethiopia president will do. What the Americans there, they are watching the situation there.
Experts have argued that Ethiopia did, it wasn't an issue about access to the sea because they already had. Actually, Ethiopia memorandum with Somaliland was more to do with being in control and fronted also by some international forces. So when there's the Houthis are bombing the ships in Red Sea and you cannot access through the Red Sea, business cannot carry on, they still are going to have some form of access through Ethiopia's connection with Somaliland, because they don't want to deal directly with Somaliland either.
Yes. So those are potential hotspots in the Horn of Africa, and that the Horn of Africa it has been a region of conflicts. So I think major elections now would be to see how they can reduce conflicts in the Horn of Africa, because these are potential hotspots. How we need rulers or leaders who can harness the abundant resources in Africa for development. Africa is so rich, but we are not able to tap into the resources by ourselves.
It is a very important issue you raised there, Emmanuel. We also observe some silly situations to find ourselves in Africa, whereby Nigeria is one of the world's largest producers of oil, but it's going to have to be exported in form of raw and then sold back to Nigeria at a higher cost. What a shame. Talk about even many countries, several countries, all they do talk about export. They export the raw materials, everything is processed. Cocoa in Ghana, all the chocolates in this country, in the UK, many other countries, and they don't produce cocoa, but they buy the chocolate at a higher price. How can we change that? It will take, and it will take only good leaders who will come selfless, not there to steal, not there to do their own businesses using taxpayers' money, not there to reward their cronies and psychopaths. Leaders who look to rule for the benefit of the citizens of that country. That's what we want, selfless leadership. Because when they come with that thinking, then they will see clearly and they will see the problems of Africa and they will begin to fix them. So listen,
Africa in focus.
Ladies and gentlemen, All-Star DJs featuring the world's finest, the world's best, lyrical entertainer, Shaka Wale.
Oya moja tapi ole Keda nubana Pakata sasi wuni cement Ubeye dashe nanama Nanama Sika na pe o Na wafa yeje o She be ready to go But are you ready to pay o I see ya pe DJ Black Any DJ by Rasky, he do our meet up with DJ Rume and DJ Sympathy. Yeah. Boy, I'm much a tapiola. Make she go marry doctor, still she go go discotheque. Boy, I'm much a tapiola. Take them go marry doctor, still she go go discotheque. Matter no be life of face, oh.
This matter no be life of face, oh.
Plenty woman wants face, oh.
Plenty woman wants face, oh.
No be my first to love, oh. No be the car you the drive, oh. And to be head I share na na ma,
na na ma.
See canape, oh. Now what for your job, oh. She be ready to go, but are you ready to pay, oh? I say I beg you, oh. A sun super new dusty. I see a best summer flex. And on one can't stop a new flex.
Boy, I'm much a tapiola.
Make she go marry doctor, still she go go discotheque. Boy, I'm much a tapiola.